All right, guys. Obviously, I'm not Kevin. There's about a 3-foot height difference. All right, guys, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these students that have come here on a Saturday night live, Lord, on a Saturday night. Lord, they've given up their time. They've given up their freedom, Lord, and they decide to be here with you. They decide to be here and to worship you and to learn of you, Lord. So I ask that you be faithful to us tonight, or that you would teach us, that you would grow us, Lord, that we would exit these doors in 45 minutes changed, Lord. Lord, we would exit these doors with a different perspective, a deeper understanding of who you are and what you want to do in us and through us, Lord. So, Lord, I ask right now that you go before us and that you would cause us to learn, Lord, that you would teach us your ways and encourage us and send us out, Lord, to be examples to a lost world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Solomon says in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, he says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. He says, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Guys, we're going to be in the book of Jude tonight. And we're going to find out that in the book of Jude, that they were also going through a season. That they also found themselves in a season. And this season was called a season of apostasy. And you guys might ask yourselves, well, Courtney, what exactly do you mean by apostasy? Well, I mean apostasy being abandonment. Forsaking or deserting, turning one's back on, they're doing an about face. There's an apostasy going on. It's when you're going one direction, guys, and you do an about face, and you go the other direction. That's what Jude is talking about. That's the situation at hand. Because there were people creeping in to the church in Jude's time. And they were saying that, you know what, everything that you've believed and that you've thought was true, it's a lie. And they were leading people astray. You see, people were turning away from Jesus Christ and turning their backs to what they were and turning their backs towards what they once were. Turning away from Jesus and going back to the old ways, going back to the old life. I can remember when I first got saved, who I was and what I did, but Jesus said, I've made you a new creation. Now you're a new creation in me. The things that were are done away with. And now you're a new creation. Now you're a new life in me. You've changed. And these people are going back to what they were. Now, guys, many times when we're doing a teaching, we'll come up with a fancy story or something pretty humorous to really get you guys hooked. You know what I'm talking about? But tonight's a little bit different situation. You know why? Because this is a serious problem. When Jude approached the situation, he doesn't really waste any time. He says who he was. He encourages the believers. And then he says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. He doesn't waste any time. He doesn't play any games. He gets right into it. And tonight, guys, we're going to do the same thing because you know what? This is not an issue to play around with. You guys might come here tonight thinking that, you know, this is what I do. I come to church on Saturday night. I come to church on Wednesday. I have the label Christian. But you know what, guys? If you're not contending earnestly, and we're going to find out what that means. If you're not pursuing the Lord, if you're not contending for your beliefs and for your faith, you might find yourself in a place of doing an about face for the Lord. Because you're going to be deceived. You're going to be carried away. And the Bible says people are tossed to and fro by various teaching or various beliefs. Unless you guys decide tonight and from here on out to continue in the Lord. Okay? So this is a very serious message, and I want you guys to know that. So we're not going to make light of a situation when the situation is taking the hearts of people all around us. Well, once again, you guys might ask the question, what exactly are you trying to say? Well, it's like what I just said about 5 seconds ago, guys. It's contending earnestly for the faith which was once for all, and it says, Jude says, delivered to the saints. Because this is what they're saying, guys, in the book of Jude. It says, they're saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. God's forgiveness or God's grace, one thing that Paul says, he says, do we sin so that grace may abound? And it's a rhetorical question. He says, no, we don't sin because God's grace is sufficient. We don't sin because we've been saved and he's wiped all of our sins away and now we're saved. He says, that's stupid. And he goes on to say, he says, Jude follows with that and he says, they've turned against the only master. The only master? Yeah, the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word contend. It's a really neat word. I looked it up, and this is a couple other words that you could use. To struggle, to wrestle, to battle, to grapple, or to engage in a close struggle. Who here is a wrestler? Anybody wrestle? You, come up here. You wrestle? Oh, I used to wrestle in high school. I feel sorry for the guys that had to wrestle girls. That's just weird. You're like, oh, you know? It's not a good thing. What, guys, but when you contend with something, it says when you grapple or you engage and you hold someone close, it's like when you wrestle. When you're wrestling, you get in your stance, right? And you get like this, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And you hold tight and you get in your position. Now, don't take me down, okay? Don't really take me down. But that's what it's talking about. It's talking about contending. It's really getting close and struggling with something. It's taking your opponent on head on, right? And it's not messing around. You don't stay back here and wait for them to shoot in. You guard yourself, right? And you contend with them earnestly. You can sit down. We'll wrestle afterwards, okay? Me and you, match afterwards, okay? But guys, what he's talking about that. When you are faced with a situation, when your salvation is faced with a question, what do you do with it? Do you believe or do you go away? Do you do an about face and turn the other direction? Do you contend earnestly? Do you wage war? Do you declare war against those people and those things that would say your faith is irrelevant? Your God has no power. And would they say that, you know what, the grace and the forgiveness that was given to you, that's just so you can live an immoral life. They lie and they deceive. They trick you guys. Would you contend earnestly? Earnestly means it's fervent. Would you contend with passion or be jealous? Would you be dedicated, committed? Would you contend earnestly? Would you wrestle passionately for your faith in Jesus Christ? Would you? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? And today, guys, we're being charged with the same thing. You see, guys, I want to share with you some statistics that I found. You say, Courtney, this doesn't really apply to me. Well, I think you would realize that it does once I read some of these statistics. You guys see, because kids are being deceived into thinking that there is something more than the mercy and the peace and the love that Jude says. He says here, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. We've been given mercy. Because of the mercy given, we've been given peace with God. And because of that, we have the love of God in our lives. On the case of drugs, guys, it says this: on an average day, nearly 1.2 million teenagers smoke cigarettes. Well, you say, well, cigarettes aren't a drug; it's no big deal. Well, it goes on. It says 631,000 15-year-olds and 19-year-olds drink. It says 586,000 on a daily basis smoke marijuana. It says nearly 50,000 students use inhalants, Or what about hallucinogens? It says 27,000 students use it on a daily basis. Or what about cocaine? It says 13,000 students in America use cocaine on a daily basis. And it says 3,800 students use heroin. What's happening to us as students, to us as teenagers, to us as young people? Are we contending earnestly for our faith? Or do we find ourselves giving in and being compromised as Christians? You guys know where you stand. You tell me. Or what about this, guys? What about the issue of sex? It says nearly 50% of 15 to 19-year-olds have had sex. And it says of 750,000 of those have become pregnant. And it says 29% of those ended up in abortion. So this age group is doing quite a bit of drugs, having quite a bit of sex, and killing quite a bit of babies. Is that something to contend earnestly about? Is that something to laugh about? Is that something to take sincere? Because maybe you guys aren't doing it. But what about your friends? What about the people that you sit in class with? And do you just let them go on? Is it just okay that they're taking their lives and just going down the wrong path? Well, on the issue of life, what about this? What about the issue of teen suicide? It says the suicide rate among children ages 10 to 14 equal about 300 deaths a year. It says the rate of those students that are 15 to 19 rates about 1,621 deaths a year. Or what about 20 to 24? 2,373 deaths. And guys, you know what the leading cause of death is amongst teens in this world? It's not drunk drivers. It's not any situation that was outside of themselves. It's themselves. You are killing yourselves. It's us. We're doing it. Why? Because they have a life lived with drugs, lived with sex outside of marriage, and they're trying to find hope in a passion outside of God's love, outside of God's mercy, outside of God's grace, outside of a hope in Jesus Christ. That's why I say to you guys, contend or wrestle face to face with this issue, because our lives are being threatened. Would you agree with me? Do you guys know anybody that has dealt with three of these issues? Any three of them? I'm sure we could all raise our hands. And I guarantee some of us raising our hands are the very ones dealing with it. And that's why you guys need to come to head with this situation and make decisions in your life. Because the inevitability of what is going to happen to you, you're not going to get better. It's not going to get better. It's not going to change and all of a sudden drugs become something good for your life. It's going to get worse. It's going to lead to sex. It's going to lead inevitably to you ending your life, because you know what? This lifestyle gives you nothing to live for. Nothing. Well, you guys might say, you know what? This might be true. This might be the case. And we're going to talk about parents and their involvement in this. But this is what Satan, I want to give you guys a heads up. I want to give you guys a heads up about what the enemy, what Satan says about you guys. He says he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Guys, if you take God's love out of the equation, if you take Jesus out of the equation, that's the inevitability of it all. You'll be destroyed. You guys will literally have no hope if you take out mercy, peace, and love. What about parents, guys? I think we have a big problem here, because parents, many times, are our example. And if I can relate to you guys at all, I know my dad. Horrible example. He was a guy that had sex out of marriage because he left my mom for it. He was a guy that was an alcoholic, and he blames it on his dad because his dad was an alcoholic. And his dad died of alcoholism. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be raised up when you have examples that necessarily aren't good. Do you guys have the same problem? Anybody here? I think a lot of us do. It's sad, but it's true. it says this about divorce. It says 41% of first-time marriages end up in divorce. And you know what it says the number one reason? And actually, 90% of those divorces happen because of marital unfaithfulness. Our parents, the people that are our examples, are the ones denying the faith that we hold to by their lives, by their examples. What are you guys going to do? Are you going to contend earnestly for the faith that you guys believe in? Or are you going to follow in the same footsteps? It's your choice. See, guys, they fall into a lie. And this is what these liars say. It says that they're grumblers, they're complainers. Jude says they're walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, speaking of you guys, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. Well, Jude lays it out for us real plain in verse 4 of Jude. This is the lie. He says, I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you. Wormed their way. They've been sneaky. They've slowly deceived you. They've wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live a moral life. The fate of such people that deceive you, the fate of such people was determined long ago. This is what it says there, what's determined of them. For they have turned against our only Master and Lord and Savior. If you find yourself being deceived by the lies of this world, the outcome is that you're inevitably going to find yourself turning against, doing what? The about face of what we were talking about. You're going in one direction and you decide to go this direction. That's the inevitability of it. We're told that Satan has some pretty cheap tricks, guys. It says in 2 Corinthians, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. It says that they transform themselves into apostles of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. When we think of Satan, what do we think of? We think of this guy, this like dragon-like character, horns, big tail, and a table. I don't know. Yeah, Satan has a real big table. I don't know. But anyways, he has this big tail, and this is how we picture him. But he says he transforms himself into something disgusting that is sick, and he transforms himself into an angel of light, into something beautiful, into something that attracts us to him. Last Wednesday, guys, after service, we were picking up trash and we were closing down. I just locked the doors, and myself and the leaders, we walked out of here. Now, I pulled out onto the road, my wife picked me up, and we're getting ready to pull out onto Asuna. We usually would take a right to go home, but I told my wife, we need to take a left because I have a feeling it's going to be a late night because I had a project due for school. And so I ran to Starbucks and I grabbed my drink. Who knows what my drink is? Anybody know my drink? It's a coffee. That's close. Come on, guys. Who really knows me? Mocha. Ice. Vanilla latte. No, Frappuccino. Americano. We have a winner in the back. Haley. That's right, guys. I grabbed myself an Americano. That's shots of espresso over hot water. Awesome. So, I grabbed my Americano, we head back down Osuna, and then we turn on 4th Street to head to our house. And then I see it. You know, I was thirsty, I needed some coffee, I needed to wake up, but I was also kind of hungry. And there it was, the Golden Arches. McDonald's. I had my eye on 3 double chili cheeseburgers. Late at night. Okay, so I pull up in the drive-thru, okay? I go through the drive-thru along with a fry, of course. The dollar menu, that was $4. That was cheaper than my coffee almost. $4. So I see the picture. You guys know how it is. They make some great promises, don't they? McDonald's and all these fast food restaurants. I mean, the burger is juicy. And it's full and it looks big. And you see the cheese kind of oozing off the side. And you see the ketchup and the mustard. And the bun just like glistening in the light. And you're like, this is going to be a good burger. Well, I got home, slammed down the 3 burgers, drank the fry, ate the fry, and I chased it with my Americano. Let me tell you guys, that's not a good combination. That begins to do some things. I think my body instantly started rejecting it. So guys, when I open up the burger, this is what I found. I found it to be smashed, greasy, kind of lopsided. You know, you have half the burger off the bun. Cold fries, but of course I still ate it. You guys see, Satan's the same way. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He looks good, he makes a lot of promises, but he always lets you down. The outcome's never good. For Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He's deceitful. He makes promises, guys, that he can't deliver on. So, guys, in light of everything we talked about, in light of everything we learned, why Jude wrote this book? Because of what? Apostasy, right? People deceiving the believers. People trying to deceive us of the grace and the mercy that we know of from Jesus Christ. And this is where it talks about it. We're going to open up our Bibles to the book of Jude if you guys want to turn there. It's right before Revelation. It's only one chapter. It's a pretty simple book to handle. We're going to hit on 2 verses tonight, okay? 2 verses. It says in the first verse, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Point one, guys, this is where Jude sets the pace. Jude lays the foundation. Jude says, follow me, just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, what in the world is that? A bondservant. It's interesting because the very word used for apostasy is runaway slave. So these people are runaway slaves. The exact opposite of what Jude says he is. He says, I'm not a runaway slave. I'm a bondservant. I am a bondslave. Jude is declaring here, he says, I'm a bondslave, one who has submitted himself to Jesus. And one thing about a bondservant, he's freely given up who he is and all of his freedoms. Do you guys realize who here believes in Jesus? Who here is going to go to heaven? Who here has given their lives to the Lord? That's the key, guys. Who here has given their lives to the Lord? So in essence, you're a bond slave. In essence, you're a bond servant. You've freely given all your will. You've given over your life. You've given over everything. And he said, here you go, Jesus, because I know what it's like prior to you. I know what it's like living on my own, doing my own thing. It doesn't get me anywhere. You're a bond servant. You're a bond slave. And I think Jude would say this. He says, I'm a bondservant. And you know what? And I'm going to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And he says, I will struggle. I will wrestle. I will battle. I will grapple, engage in close struggle. I will wage war. He will declare war on the lies spoken by men. He's a bondservant, guys. He's a bondslave. And he says, you know what? I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I myself am not willing to do. And he's making a stand saying, I'm a bond slave. Secondly, guys, Jude establishes the believers. The latter part of verse 1, it says, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. To those that are called, this is what I need. I need you 6, 7 of you guys. Stand up right here for me. All 7 of you guys in the front row. Stand up. Stand up. There you go. Stand up. There you go. Stand up. Now, I'm not going to have you guys do anything. Do you guys have PE? Do you guys do PE still? No? You guys are done with PE? Okay. You guys know what it's like? You probably remember this, though. You guys know what it's like in PE when you have two team captains, and then you have to be picked. Okay, so the captain was like, oh, I think Melanie's pretty good. So you're picked. It's a great feeling. The last thing you want is to be the last person picked, right? It's a horrible feeling. You feel like I was always the last person picked. I mean, this goofy little kid. When I was in grade school, I think I was probably this tall. I had a shaved head and a big nose. That's not a good combination, okay? Shaved heads are not good with a big nose. It just doesn't work out good. So I was never picked. I was really tiny as a little guy. I mean, as a young guy, I was really tiny. But this is what God is saying here. He says, I've called you. I've sanctified you, and I've preserved you. And this is like God, he's the coach, or he's the one picking. And he takes you guys, and he snags you out, and he places you over here on the winning team. That's a great feeling, isn't it? It's a great feeling to be picked. You guys can sit down. God did the same thing. He's saying here to the believers, you've been called, you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. You've been called and set apart for what? To be preserved in Jesus Christ. So in light of these people that are crept in, that are deceiving, you've been called, you've been picked. Isn't that reassuring? Guys, if you were in a place where you knew people were here wanting to snatch you away, what if you were at home and you saw someone like hammering on the door, this really creepy guy running around the house, and would you be flipping out? What if you knew that God was there and he picked you up and he put you in safety? No one could touch you. No one could grab you. No one could snatch you away. Isn't that a good feeling? Know that Jesus has done that for you guys that have placed your trust in Jesus Christ. He's picked you. He's sanctified you. He's set you apart, and he's preserved you. It says this in John chapter 10, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father, Jesus says, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Guys, despite the situation, Jude encourages them with how God thinks of them, with what he's done with them. And guys, I wanna bring this home to you guys. No matter where you're at, you may not be feeling the temptation of drugs, sex, or even suicide. Your temptations may be something different, but know this, you're gonna be tempted, you're gonna be faced with decisions, choices. What do you do with it? Where do you go? God says that he snatched you. And no one can snatch you from his hands. He's picked you and placed you in his arms. Thirdly, guys, Jude proclaims their battle cry. Jude proclaims their battle cry. It says in verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Who here can give me a definition of mercy? Anybody? Anybody can give me a definition of mercy? Well, I'm glad we're talking about it tonight then. Mercy, it's not getting what you deserve. Do you guys know what it's like to be in trouble? You've been caught red-handed. There's no getting around it. I mean, you guys have been caught. Have you ever been let go? You deserve this. You deserve like 3 years of grounding. But instead, they let you go. Have your parents ever done that to you? Yeah, a couple of you guys? Wow, you guys have good parents. They what, guys? What did they do to you? They showed you what? Mercy, exactly. Guys, can you imagine being showed mercy from God? Because everything that, all the marks that are against us, everything we've ever done, every time we've disobeyed God, every time we disobeyed our parents, every time we said something or did something, every time we blasphemed God, whether it was through what we said or whether it was through what we did by our actions, God says, I've given you mercy. And it says this in verse 53 of chapter 53 of Isaiah. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Mercy. Jude says, I want you to know God's mercy. Because even if you screw up, even if you mess up, even if you fall a little bit, God's mercy, he's forgiving, he's merciful. What about peace, guys? He said, peace be multiplied to you guys. Peace be multiplied. I'm going to turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans talks all about who we are in God, who we are in Jesus, his love for us. Talks a lot about salvation. It says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with the Lord. There's no worse feeling than when you screw up and you know someone's mad at you. Have you guys ever done something against your friend, your best friend, and you screwed up? You act like a fool. Maybe you said something behind their back. You did something to them. Is there peace between that relationship? No, there's not. You feel like an idiot. There's not peace. But he says here that therefore having been justified by faith, he's given us mercy. We have peace with God through the blood of Jesus. We have peace with God. What about love, guys? If we just go down four more verses to verse 5, it says this. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have love. And in light of the situation, in light of the apostasy, and in light of the about face that was going on amongst believers, and in light of the deceitful tricks by the enemy who has come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Say it with me. Kill, steal, and destroy. In light of the enemy, he says, I share with you the mercy, the peace, and the love that be multiplied upon you guys. So hang tight. This is a season. Like we learned earlier by Solomon, we go through seasons. And this is a season that we go through. So guys, in light of the 13,000 students a day that use cocaine, or the 50,000 that use inhalants, or the 586,000 that use marijuana, or what about the marriages that end in divorce? What about the 90% of those that end in divorce because of sex outside of marriage? What about the kids that kill themselves due to their lives that they don't like, due to the choices they've made? What about one of every three that kill themselves of students that die are because of themselves inflicting it upon themselves? In light of these things, in light of the faith that is being jeopardized in our lives because of the enemy, in light of these things, guys, will we contend? Will we battle passionately for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints? Guys, when it comes to drugs, will we battle passionately? Will we face it head on like we did here in wrestling? What about sex? Will we battle it passionately? Will we face it? Will we make decisions? What about your life? Will we battle it passionately? What about your family? Do you just let things go on and give up? Will you battle passionately? Will you guys battle passionately with me? I'm asking you guys, Jude is asking you, the Lord is asking you right now, will you join us? Will you contend earnestly? Will you be zealous for the things of God? Will you find yourself facing your fears, facing the temptation, and making decisions, and pointing your finger and saying, I will battle passionately for my faith. And as you battle passionately for your faith, you're battling for your friend. You're battling for the person sitting beside you. Because you know what? If you can stand strong, it causes them to be encouraged to stand strong also. Jude ends the book this way. He says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling," speaking of Jesus, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power," he says, "both now and forever." Guys, I say it again. Battle passionately for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, because they're saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live an immoral life. So in light of what we learned, that Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, will we let him? Are we going to fight? Are we going to stand? We're going to stand, guys? Yeah. Will that be our battle cry? Will that be what is said of us? Will we stand in our schools, in our homes, with our friends? Will we stand here at Velocity and stand upon God's word and his love, his mercy, and his peace? So guys, as we go out, can I see your bulletin? The last part, guys, right here. It's really simple. It says, "Go and defend the God who defends you," because it says here, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless." He's here defending. He's presenting you faultless. And we're going to have Chris come up and lead us in a song of worship, all right? So guys, go and defend God who defends you, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you guys.